You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The new COVID variant, known as BA2, is spreading rapidly in Europe and Asia. And in fact, yesterday, it became the dominant coronavirus variant here in the United States. Now, that was just some of the news that came out this week about COVID-19. We also got the green light for people 50 and older to get another booster shot. But just when should you get it? Well, to answer those questions, we turn to Dr. David Pate, former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Good to have you with us, Dr. Pate.
Thank you. Glad to be with you, Gemma.
And remember, folks, if you have a question, send us an email now, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. So, Dr. Pate, I want to start with BA2. It is spreading rapidly through Europe and Asia. Can you kind of give us an overview of what's happening?
Yes. Yeah, so for those of your listeners that may not be familiar with this various terminology of BA2, BA2 is another Omicron. It's what we call a sublineage. So it's not the same Omicron that the United States just recently experienced. When we had our latest surge, that was BA1. Now, one might think that, oh, okay, well, if it's another Omicron, then we're protected, particularly those that perhaps might have been infected with the initial Omicron surge that we had. And I think that many will be, but we are gaining more and more information that is telling us that the rate of reinfections, even if you had BA1, which is what we previously referred to when we said Omicron, it is higher than we would have imagined, perhaps up to 10% of people might get reinfected. The data is just not completely clear yet because it's so recent. But I think that it is another threat. It is clear that some people can be reinfected. And we are seeing that it has a transmission advantage. It is somewhere between 30 to 80% more transmissible. And I think experts are kind of honing in around 75% more transmissible. That's of note because the previous Omicron that we had, BA1, was already one of the most contagious viruses that we've ever dealt with. How does that impact people? Well, it just means that when it's more transmissible, that means greater chance that you can spread it in your families, greater chance that you can spread it when you're in indoors and other facilities. So it is, as you said, it's wreaking havoc in many European and Asian countries. It's been unfortunate timing because many of those countries, similar to the U.S., but even more so, have been eliminating all of their public health measures right as BA2 was taking off. So that certainly enabled the spread of the virus.
And then yesterday, Dr. Pate, we learned that BA2 is now the dominant variant here in the United States. So number one, where is it concentrated right now? And are you surprised by this news?
I'm not surprised. And it's something that I've been talking about for a couple of months now that I'm watching closely because, as you know, Gemma, what I tend to do is observe what's going on in the rest of the world and try to get as much advanced knowledge as we can. Now, it's not perfect because what happens in the rest of the world isn't necessarily exactly what's going to happen in the United States. There are many differences from country to country. So you have to take those into consideration. But no, I certainly expected BA2 to pose a threat to the United States, and that's what we're seeing. What we're seeing, as you just said, is that as what we colloquially have referred to as Omicron, which has been BA1, has been declining. What we've seen in the United States, what we've seen here in Idaho with cases dropping, that BA1 going, what we've seen is BA2 kind of slowly making its increase. And if you go back to February 5th, it was about 1% of all the infections in the United States were caused by BA2. You look today, it's about 55%. So what that tells me is that BA2 is capable of what we call displacing BA1. In other words, if you have a virus that's already circulating a lot, it may keep other viruses out. But if a new virus has more what we call a fitness advantage, it can actually displace that previous virus and start infecting people. That's what we have seen in the European countries, Asian countries, and what it appears is happening now. The second thing is, you have to understand that if those cases are increasing, which they are, they've gone from what I said, 1% to 55%, then there is something about BA2 that's giving it an advantage. And again, it appears to be that it's more contagious. It does not appear to cause more serious disease with a qualification that we can talk about in just a little bit. But in a general statement, it doesn't cause more severe disease. And the good news for those that have been vaccinated is that it does appear to be as susceptible to the vaccine protection as we had with BA1. The big difference being, is that vaccine protection waning because of the amount of time? And that leads to your other lead-in story about authorization of a second booster for those 50 and above.
So Idaho, usually we've seen this where we usually trend about 4 to 6 weeks behind the East Coast when it comes to new COVID variants, Dr. Pate. So with that being said, how long do you think it may be until we see an influx of more COVID cases here in Idaho, because we have been on the decline?
Yeah, you're right, Gemma. So the BA2 activity right now is not uniform across the United States, as you pointed out. The hot spots for BA2 in general of the geography of our country, it's the Northeast would be predominant. And then probably the second runner-up would be the Northwest, Washington, Oregon, where we are, although it seems that there's probably more in Washington, Oregon than here right now. But those are the places where we see the highest percentages. If you look at some of the states that are already starting to show a real pickup in cases, it's New York, Nevada, Colorado, and so Texas, I think. And so I'm watching both these regions of the country as well as some of these states to see what happens. And so to answer your question, I would say, in general, if BA2 is going to create a significant surge in the United States, I expect over the next 2 to 3 weeks, I'll see the evidence of that. If I don't see the evidence of that in the next few weeks, then we may be dodging a bullet. With respect to Idaho specifically, we did have a late BA1, or what we called Omicron surge. And so that may give us some protection, and meaning that we'll be late in the second if BA2 is causing a problem. On the other hand, there is so much we don't understand about this virus. You may remember last year, I was very worried that Idaho was going to have a big surge of alpha. We didn't, but Washington and Oregon did. And I can't explain that, and no one else can explain it. So, I just remain humble that it's very difficult to make any definite prediction.
So let's talk a little bit about what you've already brought up, and this is the severity of BA2. Because I think it's important to talk about, what we're hearing in the media and from medical experts is that, well, it's not at, it doesn't seem to be any more serious than Omicron, but should there be a caveat in that? It is if you're vaccinated.
Yeah, I think there should be a caveat to that. So there's two things that I think people should be aware of that may be the exception to that. BA2 is no more severe than BA1. First of all, is older individuals. We can look to Hong Kong. Hong Kong is having a terrible surge with BA2 right now, and it probably would even meet the criteria of our legislators who think a pandemic means people are dying in the streets. It's getting pretty close to that in Hong Kong. In fact, Hong Kong has just indicated that they're running out of coffins. They're having a shortage to bury their dead, and it's very, very tragic. But Hong Kong is a different situation than the United States. So this is where I said you have to keep in mind what are the differences. Hong Kong has almost the opposite problem of the United States. In the United States, we have tended to have our elderly much more accepting of vaccinations and our younger people being far more skeptical. They have the reverse, and probably related to what Hong Kong has been through politically and with control from China and others, that older individuals don't trust the government. So what Hong Kong's problem is that really only about a third of their most elderly were fully vaccinated. So it's not a terrible surprise that they are having very high mortality rates because it's affecting these elderly. In the United States, more of our elderly are vaccinated, and that's going to be a protection. I think it's very important for all of your listeners, if you've had your primary series, that is your first two shots, assuming we're talking about Pfizer or Moderna, you need to get the booster. There is, I think, really we're getting to the point of conclusive evidence that you're going to be far more protected against BA2 if you have the booster than if you don't. Maybe on the order of 20 percentage points of getting the booster. So that's really important, is if you have not been boosted, get boosted. Then there's this issue of the waning, and clearly there is some waning. It seems that especially with Moderna, though, you know, the protection against severe disease is really holding up pretty well. So it's important to get that first booster. Probably, I think the FDA's probably made a pretty good call that if you're over 50, you, especially if you're very elderly, so anyone in your 80s, you ought to be going and getting your second booster now if it's been 4 months since the first one. Those between 50 and 80, certainly, I think if you've got any other underlying medical conditions, health issues, it's probably a pretty good idea to go ahead and get the second booster. I know a lot of people are trying to time it and say, well, you know, the government's talking about we'll probably have a booster in the fall anyway. So, you know, I don't want to get it too early because I want to kind of space it out between my last one and the fall. I would liken that to trying to make your investment decisions in the stock market. I think you're going to be taking a real chance here. Like I said, if BA2 is going to be a problem, I think we're going to see that evidence in the next 2 to 3 weeks. If you wait till you already have the surge, which is what's happening in Hong Kong, now a lot of people are getting vaccinated, it's too late. So if you want that benefit, it's probably a good idea to go ahead and get it now.
Tuesday, U.S. regulators authorized another COVID-19 booster for people aged 50 and older, but also for anyone 12 and older with a compromised immune system. So this would be basically a fourth shot, a second booster. Does everybody over 50 need to run out and get that extra booster?
Well, I think, like most things with COVID, it's a matter of people making a risk, personal risk tolerance question. Why now? Why a second booster? There are several studies that the FDA considered in making this recommendation. Probably the most important one, as is usual, is that we've looked to Israel. The first thing we have to keep in mind is their vaccinations are almost all Pfizer. So whether that really relates to the other vaccines perfectly, you can't be sure, but at least it gives us data about Pfizer. The other thing is Israel has a much higher vaccination rate than us and has faced a number of these variants before we have. So it does give us some pretty good insights. And what that study showed that is if you were over 60, so doesn't really tell us as much about those 50 to 60, but if certainly for those over 60, there was a significant difference in deaths and severe disease among those that got a second booster compared to those who only had the one booster by many fold, although we're still talking about low numbers. So, certainly if you say, hey, I want to take precautions, you know, I'm the breadwinner in my family, or, you know, I live with other people who depend on me, or I live with other vulnerable people. Yes, I think you definitely want to get a booster. Now, let me tell you about the second reason that nobody talks about why you may want to consider getting boosted again and getting vaccinated if you haven't been vaccinated, or boosted for the first time if you haven't been boosted. And that is that healthcare professionals and the CDC, I think, have been very hesitant to comment on the long-term health problems because we still are trying to understand it. We're still getting data in. Not everything is clear. And certainly no one wants to be considered an alarmist or that kind of thing. But I will tell you, I do look at this data and carefully. And I think there are many people that have taken the approach that, well, you know, I'm not likely to die. So if I get infected, I get the infected. You know, I've gotten the flu, I've gotten all these other things. So what's the difference? There does seem to be a difference. This virus is acting very, very different than most viruses people know about. And I do think there's going to be growing evidence, as there already is, that your health is in danger if you keep getting reinfected with this virus. And I think we clearly are underreporting reinfections because we have used this arbitrary definition that the infections have to be at least 90 days apart, when we're gaining more evidence from other countries that in fact reinfections can occur in as early as 4 to 6 weeks, especially with these different Omicron sublineages. So I do think there is a reason to not want to get infected because of these long-term health effects that we're just beginning to understand. So I think your whole calculus to your decision shouldn't be based solely on what do you think your chances of dying are.
Well, and with that said, Dr. Pate, let's talk about these reinfections, because as you mentioned, you're hearing there's a growing concern among medical professionals about these long-term health effects when people repeatedly get infected, reinfected. Can you talk a little bit more about what you're learning in terms of like that, what that third infection, right? That it could lead to more serious issues than maybe the first time you were infected or that first reinfection?
Yes. Yeah, so there is a recent study. Now, this is a meta-analysis, which means we've taken a bunch of small studies from different countries and put them together. That's not a strong research methodology. It's helpful, mm-hmm. but we have to understand there's a lot of limitations when you combine studies, because sometimes they use, you know, they are in different countries. Now, I've already said there's a lot of differences, but this meta-analysis looked at 81 studies from across 22 countries. And at least what they found was that, contrary to the thought that, you know, with each infection, I just get stronger, I'm building my immune right. system, you know, and it's going to be milder. What they found is that certainly for a lot of people, a reinfection is milder. On the other hand, when they looked at these large groups of people, they saw that the mortality rate was almost double with what we experience with the reinfection. Now, if you look at the group, there's another study that looked at these folks. And what they saw was that the chance that your reinfection was going to be more severe was significantly increased if that reinfection occurred within 60 days. And that's why I would say right now is, if somebody listening here had what we refer to as Omicron, you know, BA1, they probably had it in January or February. If we have a surge in BA2 really soon, I think you want to take some extra precautions. I don't think you want to get reinfected that soon. The other thing that we saw, another study looked at reinfections. Now, this was looking at November 21 to January 22. So we were mostly here dealing with Delta at that time, but they saw reinfections increase from less than 500 per month to over 4,000 per month. So that's about an eightfold increase. And what we are learning, and we still have many unanswered questions, but while a lot of people say, you know, these infections boost my immune system, and certainly in some respects, many infections do that, but this infection also looks like it can wreak havoc on your immune system as well, and in ways too complicated for me to talk about on the radio. I would say that the evidence is showing that, particularly if you're in that over 60 group, you really don't want to get reinfected. Those are the groups that are more likely to have a bad outcome from getting reinfected.
So we just got this email in, and the person says, now that the second booster is being made available for those over 50 or immunocompromised, I'm wondering when it will also be made available for those frontline workers who do not meet that criteria. I'm a teacher, and it's been 6 months since I was boosted. So we don't have any information on that, though.
Well, you know, I think we will soon. The information, okay. The data that we have right now is not particularly robust, and to make that call. We're also dealing with a complication of Congress, and that is that Congress is not extending funding for, at least not yet, for these COVID programs, testing, vaccines, mm-hmm. monoclonals, antivirals, et cetera. So I think that part of the restraint on the part of the government's recent recommendation to restrict this to 50 and above is, frankly, the government doesn't have the money to provide vaccines to everybody for a second booster. We would not have enough money. They currently have enough money to pay for vaccines for everybody over 65, and all the kids, if they get approved under five, they've got enough funding for that, but the White House has already said they don't have enough money to vaccinate everybody. Now, you know, where the hardship's gonna fall is it just means particularly those that are uninsured. The funding for COVID testing, it has already run out for the uninsured. So if you're uninsured, that's gonna be a real problem. Let me explain to you, if you're listening and you're uninsured and you're wondering about whether to get a shot or a booster right now, do it, because the funding to pay for your COVID vaccine is due to run out on April 5th. That's next week.
Oh, wow.
So okay. I would, if you don't have insurance coverage, go get vaccinated this week or this weekend. It may be your last chance to have it covered. Now, you know, we're going to have to wait and see. Likely a lot of this is just going to shift to employers to pay for insurers to pay for. We don't really have all of those details, but you know, that's just, it's going to be an issue.
Dr. Pate, Donna just sent this in and she says, I remember a few weeks ago, Dr. Pate expressed some concerns about getting a second booster. Does he still have those concerns? And Dr. Pate, I do remember discussing this a bit where you were like, well, let's wait and see what happens. Like, don't just run out and get one.
Yeah. And it wasn't so much concerns that I was afraid somebody would be hurt by doing it. What we didn't have the data to support it. And I don't think, you know, I've heard about a patient that was actually assuming other people's identities and just kept on going into the clinic to get more and more boosters. That's probably not good for you. But I don't think you want to get boosters when you don't need to. So I did think we needed to wait for the data to show this. There is, you know, that theoretical risk if you're getting it, you know, repeatedly and often that you may actually undermine that response. But this data is showing us that not only did these boosters produce a improved immune response to that waning, but it also did increase the protection against severe disease. We also are getting, you know, some, I wouldn't say the answer is conclusive yet, but we're starting to see more and more studies suggesting that getting vaccinated is going to greatly reduce your risk for many of these complications that I mentioned are of concern, even if you survive COVID.
And so with that said then, Dr. Pate, I mean, if you were over the age of 50, if it's been more than 4 months since you got that first booster, a good idea to go get that second one.
Yeah, I called my mom yesterday and told her, go get your second booster. And I am scheduling for my wife and I for next week to get ours. So okay. That probably answers your question.
It does. The one thing we haven't talked about yet is we have a whole group of people who still are not eligible to be vaccinated. And this is 5-year-olds and younger. Dr. Pate, where are we in that process? Because I have to say, you know, both of my kiddos are now vaccinated, but when, you know, I felt such a level of stress until my youngest could finally be vaccinated, which happened in December. So I have such compassion for these parents and caregivers who are still in the midst of this, like so many of us don't feel that we are because their children cannot be vaccinated.
Well, you're right, Gemma. And it certainly is a very big concern for me for two reasons. One is that some children in that age group under 5, particularly the younger you are, they're going to be at risk for some of these severe problems. And yes, at a much lower rate than adults, but if it happens to your kid, that is just awful. And so certainly we have seen more kids in the hospital with these more transmissible variants, particularly with our last Omicron surge. You know, even when the children survive, which they usually do, it's a terrifying experience when they have to be in the hospital and particularly when they have to receive assistance in breathing. So it's not good. And then we have the MISC. We have a whole bunch of other things. And certainly kids can get long COVID. So, yeah, there's that concern. There's the other concern is that while we did not see this early on, where kids played a substantial role in the transmission chain, clearly they do now with these more transmissible variants. And so, you know, the risk is not only for children, but it's a big risk for these young children being around grandparents and great-grandparents and others who those kiddos may be perfectly fine, but they're becoming much more efficient at being able to transmit it, and they may transmit it to somebody who won't do well. So, you know, our holdup has been that younger children's immune systems are not the same as older children's. And frankly, we have had some challenges in trying to get what is the right dose to give them. Enough of a dose to mount a very good immune response, but not so much of a dose that we end up making kids sick. And so Pfizer undershot, and that's why they're kind of going back, and they're doing two things. They're starting new trials where they'll do a higher dose, and they're doing other trials where they see, well, maybe if giving a third dose would be enough to get that response up. Moderna gave a relatively higher dose, and they got a better response in children under five. And that's why they've just gone to the FDA for authorization on their vaccine. So we can be very hopeful that we may have authorization, and is surprisingly, instead of it being Pfizer, it's likely to be for Moderna for these kids, and I hope soon. Now, what I fear, though, is that some parents are not going to understand the data. What the data showed was that children had less vaccine effectiveness than what we were used to with hearing about for the other vaccines. But what the difference is we measured the adult vaccine effectiveness before all these variants. These trials were tried during Omicron, when we already knew Omicron has some ability to get around the immune system. And so all of us had reduced vaccine effectiveness. If you compare it on that basis, the Moderna vaccine looks pretty darn good for these kids. If you compare it to how the vaccine started out for adults, you're going to think, oh, these don't work. And I'm afraid, as you and I know, there's a lot of people that spin this information to try to discourage people from getting vaccinated. And I fear that may be the case.
And I want to get one more question in from Mike. He just wrote in. He says, I'm 78 years old. I'm interested to know when the new booster will be available in the Boise area and throughout Idaho. Dr. Pate, while we've been on the program, I literally just got online and looked at places. And I mean, there are locations that you could get boosted today.
Yes. There was a little bit of uncertainty because the FDA announcement was not as clear as healthcare providers would have liked. And it was a surprise mm-hmm. for us, like everybody else, because we didn't get advance notice. So it wasn't clear about, well, what dose do you give and so forth. That has been now clarified. Also, there wasn't the particular code identified that they should use to send into the government or the insurance company when they do this. So I think we've got a lot of clarity now. And I think there are plenty of places already open offering this today, and there's going to be more, even more next week as they set up their systems to be ready to do this. So it shouldn't be a problem. I'd call ahead, schedule it, make sure that they're set to give it to you. But if you want it, you'll be able to get it without any problem.
Mm-hmm. And before we go, as we are heading into warmer weather and all of that, yet potentially a surge, for people who are wondering, I mean, masks, Dr. Pate, all the mandates have gone away. Should you still be wearing one maybe when you're inside with a crowd of people?
Yeah, I think you have to watch carefully. Obviously, the transmission rates today in most of the areas of Idaho is pretty darn low. And so the lower transmission rates, what that means is just the lower the chance that you're sitting in a room with somebody that's got it that could expose you. So obviously, if you're just playing the odds and you're deciding, you know, I don't want to wear a mask any more than I have to, well, then today would be a fine time to say you're not going to wear the mask. If you're not playing those odds, then yes, there's no downside to wearing the mask, and it may protect you because at some point, we are likely to see cases going up. But I would say the major thing is follow the cases. When they start going up, that's our BA2, you need to start being concerned and be careful because it's much more transmissible.
All right. Good advice. Dr. Pate, as always, thank you so much for joining us. We've been talking with former CEO of St. Luke's Health System and a current member of the Idaho Coronavirus Task Force. Dr. Pate will be back next week. So send us your questions, idahomatters@boisestate.edu. Again, Dr. Pate, it's always good to have you on the program.
Thanks, Gemma.
Up next, we look at how the Sun Valley Film Festival came together this year.